Powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, joined by Dave Schluter of Schluter Law Office. And Dave, you're a good man. You know a lot of things about what you do. Remind people what it is that you do.
Yeah, I got my teeth cut originally by an executive relocation firm. So I was handed four real estate files in 1986, and they said, see you tomorrow. That resulted in meeting a ton of brokers and a ton of clients, built up my own practice, and started my own firm 14 years ago. You then move that into estate planning because the people want to make sure their house doesn't go to probate after they buy it. And so we go ahead and do the estate planning marketing. And then those who are not happy at work or have accumulated some work, we represent about 50 small businesses. Boy. Everything else gets referred to very nice people who do what I don't do. But, yeah, that's the trifecta, real estate, estate planning, and small business.
I met you when you helped me buy my house, and I was amazed at the closing of how much you knew, and I've been lucky to tap into your wealth of knowledge. So when I got a text the other week, I said, I'm going to call Dave Schluter. You ready for this, Dave?
Fire away.
And this, by the way, was asked, I was asking people, what aren't we asking lawyers that you want to know more about? And that question still remains open. 312-981-7200. If there's an area of law we haven't covered, you want, you can text us. But someone said, I appreciate your show. I listen every week. And boy, I hope they're listening this week. But I'd like to suggest a legal topic that you never cover. Condominium law. Dave Schluter, do you have experience representing people who have been in condos?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when it's a purchaser, there's a huge role to protect the purchaser for not getting jammed up where they move in, and then at the first meeting they announce, okay, we need to collect the roof assessment for $8,000 per person. And then as a seller, the title companies make us jump through all kinds of hoops to make sure they're not going to get tagged with liens that the seller might not have told me about. And we close the deal, and then the buyer puts their hand out to the title company. When you purchase a condo, you should not have to worry about any prior events unless during the negotiations you made a deal with the seller that says, look, the seller's moving to Denver. They just voted for the new elevator. The seller's not going to get any enjoyment to even ride that elevator. So sometimes the buyer will pick up some of that because that improvement, when it goes in, will in fact enhance the value. So it's pretty logical, but it can take up a lot of time. We do get calls from our buyers over the years. Like I said, 38 years, I've got thousands of people who I've represented with condos, and you know, as soon as they have an issue, you know, we take them through it. It's all governed by something called the Illinois Condominium Property Act. It was just redone in January. It's 50 pages long, and it has 35 sections. And it grows all the time because something new always comes up. But that's the drill. There's an act, and then the contract and the lawyers try their best to unearth everything possible when a property changes hands. That's primarily the role I get involved in.
Terry wanted to know in this text. This was a nice long text with a bunch of questions, which I love because then I didn't have to produce it myself. How much power does a condo board have? What can a resident do if they disagree with their treatment or what the condo board does? What are your thoughts generally on that?
My thoughts generally are, I live in a 60-year-old ranch house. Next question. And I'm being sarcastic, but you are at the mercy of the condo board. You have a vote. There may be people in your building that have a few units and they have more votes than you, but there are condominium declarations and bylaws that your buyer's attorney gets for you to read and make sure you can live with what goes on. It controls everything from not just what you pay for assessments, how often they're going to meet, how often they're going to be making minutes available, how often they can go ahead and spend money and where they spend it. It's pretty much you have a silent partner. You own a property on your own, or you own it with your partner or your spouse. You really have somebody in the closet that's called the association that governs parking spaces, again, your budget, future improvements. A buddy of mine lends to condo associations, and he told me about a building on Irving Park where they're having to do 35 concrete balconies because they're all put in wrong, and everybody is getting those chiseled off and turned around. I mean, you can imagine hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But, yeah, they are, in answer to Terry's question, it's really an open-ended question because each scenario you've got to see within that condo declaration. It's like the Constitution for that project.
So if and this is to summarize, if they're following their own rules and regulations or the authority that they have based on their declarations, there's really not much lawyers can do about it. But that doesn't mean someone shouldn't call you and say, can you look at this, right?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we can look at minutes. They have notices that have to go out when it's big decisions. You know, if it's just a newsletter, congratulations to Marge on her 90th birthday in Unit 17C, you know, that's not a big deal. But when it's about to have a change in its big expenditure, it's called a special assessment. It's not very special. What it means is, let's say your dues are $400 a month. They can actually maybe come to you for 5 G's if you divide the square feet of the building and you have a 2-bedroom and your neighbor has a 1-bedroom and then your wealthy neighbor has a 3-bedroom, you're all kicking into that project as if it was your house, like putting on a roof or putting in a furnace. If you don't have the money, they conveniently offer financing. But if they vote yes on that, you are going to have to dig deep, and it really could change your cash flow.
Oh.
But yeah, we get calls. It's a frustrating area, especially for seniors, you know, where they're never going to be able to go buy a big house. In fact, they don't need a big house. They need to live in a condo. But sometimes it can be unaffordable, and they have to go ahead and pay off the special assessment by selling and then move into a rental. I mean, I've seen the nuclear option where they just, you know, their kids aren't helping.
Right.
And so then, it's the nuclear option. But, yeah, it's you definitely need to go in. I don't scare people at closings who are buying condos, but we do have quite a conversation during the attorney review process about the fact that, you know, you could face this. I hope you're not spending every last nickel on
right.
your mortgage.
Maybe keep, you know, if you have a, you know, that emergency savings, maybe tack 10 more on if you live in a condo, just so you have that rainy day for yourself. This is from the 847. Hi, can you tell me if it's legal for a condo or a homeowners association to not give you the rules and regulations until the time of closing? That happened to me a few years ago. You should be getting those rules ahead of time, right, Dave?
No, yeah. Our contract that we use in the Chicago area, and this is what the change in the law was, by the way, in January, John. Once the seller's attorney would write a letter and say, we're ready to have a closing, please circulate those to our buyer. Because a lot of times the sellers may have an old copy. Well, they used to have, if you can believe it, they could have 30 days to answer that letter. So they passed a law, which would blow up deals completely. They were within the law to wait a month. So if you sign today, you know, third week in October, we get you your copy. So they actually jammed them up and passed a law and said 10 business days, they can charge $375, and if you pay them another $100, they have to get it to you in 72 hours. So almost all of my customers say, listen, let's spend the money and get it out right away. Because with this high buyer-driven market right now where, you know, the buyer, once they decide they're going to get a property, they want to hold on as hard as they can. Because if it blows up over that issue, it may be very difficult to find another available unit. We call it the low inventory.
Yeah.
So if we were to wait 30 days, you know, sayonara, it's over.
So
we're a lot of lawyers are using this law. It was only because there was so much abuse. They'd say, okay, $800, we'll send it to you in 2 weeks, whatever. So they actually passed a universal law on January 1st.
So maybe
we don't close out our approval until our client has read those.
Right. But maybe the 847 was on, you know, operating out of the old way and got the rules and regulations right before closing. That doesn't seem great. Now they're protecting people a little bit more. Dave, we got to take a break, okay?
No problem. Enjoying the conversation.
What, by the way, people are running out of the car. What number can people reach you at?
Yes, 630-285-5300. The website is my last name, Schluter, S-C-H-L-U-E-T-E-R, lawoffice.com.
Dave Schluter from the law offices of David R. Schluter joining us now. 630-285-5300 is his number. And he doesn't pay me to say this, but he was my lawyer when I closed on the house. And he knew a lot and the price was really fair. So I liked working with you, Dave.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I'm so happy that you're enjoying the place. By the way, you came up as usual during our Home Sweet Home Chicago, and we referred to today's show as a real show, and then our show is kind of a pretend show. We had I wasn't in studio, but I was enjoying it. Our dear friend Steve Leahy was in there, and
yes.
We all were just convincing that, you know, it's nice that there's a real show that comes on after ours. So.
Well, I like to think of them as the appetizer, and then we're the meaty
legal
show.
For three hours, it's a little bit much, but yes, exactly.
I love that show. I know you do, too.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question for you. You and I were talking about last year when we were closing, and I remember when I was doing wire transfer, there was a bazillion warnings about that and how to handle that properly. Are there any trending scams or weird things that you're noticing that maybe listeners should perk their ears up if they're going?
Your topic is still one of the hottest potatoes. There are millions and millions of dollars lost because of communication fumbles between lawyers, title companies, lenders, where people just take one shot at how they're supposed to send their life savings and don't confirm it. The new wrinkle is this, that the lender's money, sending it in when you borrow the money from Homeside Lending or Wells Fargo, whoever, and you're closing your deal, the big one for 10 years has been the buyer's funds that are disappearing.
Right.
So it doesn't make, now the lender money is getting stolen.
How?
And then there's because it gets hacked between two people that aren't careful on the internet. Everybody, all of us get cloned emails where you think it's somebody you're in a relationship with, but there's either one letter off, they fall for it. We have the longest disclaimer on what to tell people. In fact, I won't even furnish them anymore on my purchases, so I'm not in the food chain of the scam. So we have people deal directly with the title company. But real quick, the two new ones are the lender money getting stolen, and hang on for the ride, John, seller's proceeds. You have no mortgage, you're walking out with 400 G's, and the title company, and you don't communicate properly with your bank where it's supposed to land, and the money disappears.
No way.
Yeah, and there's no, it's unbelievable. So yeah, we've always had the buyers scared to death, but now my title company called Abacus has completely got a whole now third-party vendor that secures that whole process for my sellers. So their life savings, or if it gets lost sometimes even between one title company and another. You're selling at 9 and you're closing at 2 on the downsizer or whatever, and you're out, you're in your van, your moving van, and then your money disappears so you can't purchase. So yeah, any lawyer who does volume has at least 20 stories about it. And
that's
what it really is
frightening.
Follow the directions that your lawyer gives you. We give very elaborate directions on how to do it securely, but it's a huge problem in our business.
If that lender doesn't get me my money because of something they did, I don't know. Do I call someone to sue them? Like, I mean, that's huge. I guess that maybe if it gets resolved, if it takes some time, it's no fun during the interim.
No, it's gone. I mean, yeah, if they're the one, you're not going to get your keys that day while the dust settles. There's going to be a lot of plates that start spinning. Bottom line is, if you had no part of it and they didn't follow the security protocols, they are going to have to dig deep. Might take a day or two. It's pretty elaborate where they'll actually sometimes, John, if people are into world politics, where like New York, for example, is a big place where international banks are. A lot of the bad guys use New York banks, and there are stories where people figured out it was wrong, and within 10 minutes before it left the country, Chase in New York locates like a third of it, but the other two is in some, faraway country. But so it's that sensitive about where it goes throughout the country.
You got 1 minute to answer this question, Dave Schluter. Someone wanted to know, can you explain title theft for me simply?
Yeah, sure. Title theft is where someone, especially people who don't have mortgages, can have someone scam a deed, go to a notary, and without you knowing it, if you're definitely not in a large metropolitan area, you can have a deed signed by a fraudster, and then let's say you pass away and your family goes to sell. They find out that this thing went down a few years ago. It takes a few crooks, major crime and everything, but in our local area, the larger counties, I know for sure, Cook and DuPage, a certified letter goes out anytime there is any activity on your deed. For those of us who keep mortgages, which a lot of us do, no one wants to take our house because they're going to take it subject to our loan.
Right.
Okay, but yeah, the people who could have it happen, and the call comes in about once every month at Home Sweet Home Chicago. If you're in some remote place where they may not have the sophistication to let you know, you could buy the title lock, but it is insurance. And then the counties actually, when they mail you your deed after your closing, you may have got one, John, on yours. They'll invite you to go into the county website, and they'll monitor that for free or a dollar a year or something
whatever
like that.
It's real.
I mean, but I don't, like I said, in the big metropolitan areas, they've adopted a way to let you know if something goes down.
Okay. Dave Schluter, how can people reach you?
Yeah, 630-285-2255. 530-0038. Year of Helping People. We always quote specific fees or have a free consult, whatever is appropriate. And John, thank you for letting me come on today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you.